Someone please tell me how the fuck I'm supposed to get out of poverty when every time my bank overdrafts, I'm charged another $36. How am I supposed to get out when I'm not using my credit cards, but the fees that accrue on my credit cards every month are worth hundreds of dollars? How am I supposed to get out when anytime I need to pay rent late, I still pay it every month, but if I pay it past the date that it's due, that's an additional fee. Everything is a fucking fee. I get charged for not having enough money in a savings account I don't even have anymore because I'm negative money. Everything is designed to charge the poor more, is to make money off of the people that are already impoverished.
Salam alaikum, everyone.
What starts here changes the world. Well, I've got to admit, I kind of like it. What starts here changes the world.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.
The average American will meet 10,000 people in their lifetime.
I was handcuffed to another man from another tribe whose language I did not speak.
Don't think, feel.
But if every one of you changed the lives of just 10 people, and each one of those people changed the lives of another 10 people, and another 10.
We did not know each other, and we could not speak to each other, because if we could have spoken to each other, we might have been able to figure out what was happening to us.
To every politician who was taking donations from the NRA, name on you.
I believed them when they said they were sleeping on concrete.
Fuck. This was a tough one, Jeffrey. But we both agreed that it needed to be talked about. I just have no idea how to address it. There's no way that I can research information on how to solve this problem. But how, when you're getting bank fees and you can't pay them back and you are at under zero and they're charging you $35 a day because you're overdrawn, you're taking payday loans out, you can't go any further. Where are you supposed to go? How are you supposed to get out of that? Where are the resources that aren't scams for these people? And why don't we see debt as a market that's predatory? You know, these are the thoughts I had, but I have no solutions for it. No solutions.
Well, let's start with what the problem is.
Yeah, because help me out here.
Part of the solution, any solution is identifying what the problem is.
Boom.
So the problem is it's expensive to be poor. Why do we say that? Well, like you pointed out, when your bank gets overdrafted, you get overdraft fees. If you don't pay the bill that you're overdrafting on, you get late fees. When you get late fees, that makes, you know, paying your bills more expensive, obviously. When you have these late fees, when you have late bills, it affects your credit. That in turn means that anytime that you are going to borrow credit, be it a credit card or be it a personal loan, be it any number of loans, those fees make it expensive because you're going to be paying a higher interest rate. That means that you're going to be paying a higher monthly payment.
Mm.
What that means then is that now you're prioritizing what bills you're going to pay versus what things you're going to buy. Say clothes, for example, if you need to show up to a job. Say food, you know, because family's got to eat.
Right.
And so when you're paying late fees, that means that the money that you could be paying for food or overdraft fees as well, the money that you could be using to buy more groceries is now going towards things that are not necessarily getting you out of the system.
Right.
So.
And that's not including student loans or mortgages or just any utility that you might have, you know what I mean? It's a tough world out there. And it seems to be that there's a market of predators coming after and trying to suck money out of our pockets before we can spend it on the things that you mentioned.
Absolutely. So this was actually a great conversation I ended up having yesterday.
Nice.
And I think that there is information out there that is not readily available. And I would argue that it's just because it gets drowned out by bigger, more expensive, louder voices.
Okay.
And so it's time to talk about, you know, how do you get out of being, And it's not an easy solution. And it's not one that's going to be a straight line. Mm-mm. It's not necessarily going to be one if you follow these steps, it's going to work.
Right.
Like, there's a starting point for everything. And then there is the, what can you physically make happen in order to do that? Caveat. I would say that anything is possible. That it is possible to get out of it, but I acknowledge that some people are going to have a harder time than others.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that some people's circumstances are going to change more rapidly than others. I acknowledge that, life is not easy. And sometimes when you are in the throes of being poor, you just get one thing after another thrown at you.
That's what I'm saying. It all happens at once and then nothing happens at all.
Yep. So the question is, where do you start? How do you start this process of getting out of poverty?
Right.
How do you start the process of making being poor less expensive? And this is a tough. It's a really tough.
I think acknowledging it in advance and not falling into it is, that's where I'm at. I'm the guy struggling on the ledge going, if I let go with one more finger, I'm going to be in debt. So I've spent my life trying to avoid it. But what's next after that?
Well, I would say that here's what it looks like. You know, find banking systems that don't have the same level of overdraft, number one, or give you options that allow you to do things you wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Okay.
One of the things that, you know, we've talked about frequently is my utter despisal of big banks.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's predatory. I think that they're predatory. Like, for example, you either have to have your check direct deposited in there or they charge you like $12 a month or $15 a month to have an account.
Right.
Well, okay. So what if you're somebody whose boss doesn't do direct deposit?
Yeah.
And you're having to deposit your paycheck every month. Well, that's $15 a month that you're paying that you shouldn't have to be paying.
Right. You can also go to the currency exchange and get the same thing. You know, once you've screwed off all the banks you can, you know, once there's no bank to use, then suddenly you're stuck with that, you know, payday loans and fucking currency exchanges. What a miserable life that is.
Right. So let's see. Then what's your next option? Okay.
I like the turning the hose off first, turning the vacuum off first. Find a bank that isn't going to continue to suck money out and that'll protect your money.
So this is where I say that credit unions are one of the best kept secrets that aren't a secret.
Right.
And that their voices are being strategically drowned out by large banking systems.
Okay.
Every banking system does things differently. And major banks have done this thing now where if you don't use, like if you don't have your check direct deposited, it's going to cost you money in order to use this bank. For example, the credit union I'm a part of, there is literally a $5 hold for opening an account with the credit union. You pay, you put $5 on just so you have something in the account.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't show up in your account. It holds your account open. And there are no fees for using, you know, for having that account, whether it's checking or savings, doesn't matter. $5 holds open my accounts. I don't have monthly fees, whether I direct deposit checks or if I just, you know, show up with cash on hand or a check to put in the bank. So right there, that is a potential $15 a month fee that you're not having to pay.
Right.
So that's step one. Step two, learn what I would say you need to learn what your overdraft fees look like
versus
what do your late fees look like. The problem with overdrafting is that you've got this weird balance where if you overdraft, you've got to pay some exorbitant amount of money.
Right.
Right. If you end up with a late fee, sometimes your late fees are less expensive than your actual overdraft fee.
Okay.
So you have to do the math to decide which fee is going to be the one that is going to financially harm you the least.
Yeah.
And this is where there's a problem, because if you're already way behind on your bills and you're in collections, this isn't going to help. But if you know that you're going to get a $10 late fee and you pay it a couple of days late versus if I pay it now, but I end up with a $40 late fee, it doesn't take much math to realize that $10 is less expensive than $40.
Right. And if that's happening to you four or five times a month, then it works. It helps to save a lot of money. And also,
absolutely,
I would love the option to opt out of it, overdraft protection. Like when I hit zero, don't let me buy anything else. Like, please, you know, stop loaning me money at the rate that you're charging. And
that's what I did.
Yeah.
And that's what I did with my credit union. If I don't have the money in the account, it says, hey, you tried to buy something, you can't buy it.
Right. This did not process. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Yep. So right there, you know, yeah. The credit union could make, you know, whatever off of its overdraft fees, but because I have opted to turn that off,
right,
and just block payments, I can easily get, you know, I can easily avoid that.
Yeah, I think that's the beginning of creating a budget, because there's that variable that just sucks the money out, and it gives you that option to buy something, and you're like, oh, that is in my budget. No, it wasn't, you know. So I think like stopping overdraft protection is the first step. I like that. I like that one a lot.
So, and then I would say if you're using credit cards, here's the next one. I had a very long conversation with this, with the kids and a friend of ours yesterday. So
I hate credit cards, by the way. I don't
oh, so
subscribe
do I.
to them.
At I all. Hate them. I hate them with a passion. I never wanted one, right, but I had to get one because I had to have kidney surgery and I had to pay the hospital.
Right. No, that's what credit card is, the original shovel of debt. Like if you want to know where the first, I mean, debt was, besides just like having an account at the corner store, you know, it's that, here's a card. We'll give you more money than you have. You're never going to have enough to pay it off. You never had it to begin with. That's why you needed the card. So to me, it's just like something else to run away from. But, you know, we're encouraged now to have them. So,
you know, and as much as I don't want to encourage people to get credit cards, I still see and recognize where you're going to have them. You're going to have to use them. So let's make it easier on ourselves. Now, this is one of my favorites, and I got to call this one out because this is one I know perfectly well. So Target has a credit card, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that credit card gives you 5% off at purchase, right?
Yep.
So here's where this is great. If you actually have the money in your account to pay for that stuff, you get 5% off.
Right.
If you let that bill go until it accumulates interest, what you actually end up paying is 25% on your purchase. So that means that 5% that you saved is now about 23% additional.
Right.
So that 5% off is really alluring. It sounds absolutely awesome. It's going to cost you if you don't pay it off.
Right.
Whereas if you used a credit card that was just like no frills, there's no neat bells and whistles about it. It's a 13% credit card. That right there would save you far more money in the long run,
right,
than getting one of those credit cards with those fancy bells and whistles on it.
12 to 17%. And that's the thing, it's like,
yeah, and that's the thing is like we've come to love the idea of, oh, well, if I get this credit card, I'm going to get so many miles from all of my purchases.
Right.
Until you realize that you pretty much have to spend $200,000 on your credit card in order to accumulate enough miles for you to get that rebate. Whereas if you had actually just gotten a credit card with a very low interest rate on it and no frills, no bells and whistles, you would have saved more money faster in the long run to put down towards the trip.
Right. That is the goal. The goal is to get that low interest rate on your card, as low of an interest rate as possible.
If you have to borrow money, be it through a credit card or a personal loan, mm-hmm. find the lowest interest rate you can get.
Yeah.
You know, and with credit cards, I'm going to say this again, you know, a lot of credit unions are starting to explore with their own credit cards. Why? Because they can undercut the market rates that the big banks are charging. Good. With, you know, with 18, 19, 20, 23, 25% interest, corporations with 25, 30% interest.
Yeah, if you're getting into the 20s in your interest rate, if you're getting into the teens with your interest rate, you need to be concerned. But if you're in the high teens or 20s, that is not an interest rate you want. That's that you're going to end up spending more
on loan sharking.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, those rates are illegal if a loan shark does that. Like, they're illegal.
<You know? laughs> So now that's one thing to consider.
And if you do get one of those, is it a good idea to transfer all of your debt onto that card and then pay it down? If you get a card with 5% interest or less, do you think that would make sense?
Well, so here's where this can make sense. So, like, let's say you've got a $5,000 balance on your Target card that's mm-hmm. costing you 25% interest
a month.
And you go to your local credit union, and your local credit union says, hey, we've got, we can get you into a credit card that has, you know, 14% interest and a 0%, you know, a 0% balance transfer fee.
Oh, cool.
And 0% payments for 6 months.
Ooh.
I want you to think about this. If you transfer that $5,000 from that high interest credit card to your low interest credit card.
Yes.
You'll get 6 months to put payments down on it.
On the principal.
On the principal alone. That right there is going to reduce the balance that you will then eventually be charged interest.
Right.
And once that interest starts coming on, you will then be literally paying half as much in interest charges as you were with those more expensive, neat bells and whistles credit cards.
Right.
So that means that you could be making the same payment amount that you are, but be paying more towards principal to get that balance lowered faster.
Yes. You know, on a little side note, like the people that go to Ashley or Babbitt and they get a year of, you know, no interest payments, they feel like they don't have to pay for a year. And what it is you actually have a year to pay. So take what you're spending and divide it by 12, and that's your payment, because you don't want to go into the interest range with these furniture stores. And that, I think that mm-hmm. just carries on with the interest rate thing.
Absolutely.
You know, you need to, because once you hit that year, you're going to be paying interest, a high interest on that.
Now, here's the other thing too, is that some of those places, they'll give you 0% interest as long as you pay the balance in full within 12 months.
Right.
But what they're doing on the back end is they're actually calculating all of the interest. Mm-hmm. So if you don't pay that in full by the time that time frame ends, you get to pay all of the interest that accumulated during that time period as well.
Right.
So it's not the interest rate on what's left over. It's the interest rate on the original balance. And yes, that's something you have to be careful about.
That's the trick. So, that's the scam. And I've had 10, 20 friends fall for that.
Yep. And that's the thing. Like, I've seen that happen. I have gotten credit cards that allow me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I make a very conscious effort to get that paid off before that date hits.
Right.
Because when you can get 0% interest on something and pay it off before then, great, fantastic. You know,
right.
What you're doing is allowing yourself to extend you know, you, to minimize your financial impact in the short term for a more balanced and even impact in the in a medium term.
And improving your credit to boot, because it shows that you're reliable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right. So credit. Mm-hmm. That's a fun one. But now here's another one that we have to address. Payday loans.
Man, they are disgusting.
Payday loans are awful, period, end of story. They are only meant to supply you money, get massive amounts of interest back, and they can't wait to see you again next month.
Right.
So here's what I recommend people do. There are some credit unions out there that are starting to do their own solution to payday lending, because they recognize that the interest rates for that payday lenders charge are exorbitant.
Right.
And so they have their own payday lending solutions that are literally about half the rate of what payday lenders are. That's fantastic. It's not the ideal solution, but if it's a solution you're currently using, it's a solution worth looking into. Now, why would you want to look into a different payday lender if it's done through a credit union? Here's why. There are credit unions out there that are, they're not just looking to payday lend. What they want to do is they want to sit down and figure out a solution with you.
I like that.
They want to sit down and say, hey, you know, how can we get you to not have to use our service? Because the reality is that the credit union wants you to bank with them.
Right.
They want to be a part of your story, your financial success, because, you know, they serve the community. You're part of the group of people that they want to make a positive change in.
And the more money they have on hand, the more they can invest in and create interest rates, right? Is that what they do?
Exactly.
So,
well, it gives them the opportunity to earn your business. So, for example, if they can get you out of poverty, but then, you know, you finally get to that point where you can buy a home, who are you going to go to when you want to buy your home?
Right. I mean, supporting somebody through a payday loan phase is the risk that they don't want to endure too long, right? Because that's where their money's out the most. If you get a payday loan for $5,000 and default, they're out and their community is out. So they don't want you in that. So I could see where they would have an incentive to get you out of that process and into a financial security. Yeah.
So by offering payday lending solutions, they're also at the same time offering financial guidance. So they can sit down with you and say, hey, let's take a look at what you're paying and let's see if we can't figure out a way to help you get out of this cycle. Because, yeah, they do make money off of the payday lending solution, but they're not going to make consistent good money if you aren't, you know, doing things like stably using their credit card or, you know, getting an auto loan through them,
or getting a home altogether. Loan. Right.
Or defaulting altogether, you know. So by having a way in which you can get stable, simple rates and great service on top of that and guidance on top of that.
Right.
Like, those are things that are absolutely important in order to break the cycle. And the problem is that when you're, a lot of the times you're just stuck in a cycle and you have nowhere that you think to look.
Right.
You're not told what potential options exist. Other than, well, maybe if you actually lived within your means. Okay, well, what if living within your means looks like this? And are you actually living within your means? Mm-hmm. Or are you stuck in a cycle that has got you living on interest rates so that way you can't get to what your means are?
Right. I mean, I did want to say that, like, going out to eat or shopping, that's a big thing that you need to negotiate. Then that's within your means. Like, maybe you need to wear one pair of shoes for 2 years. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't need to buy McDonald's. Maybe you just need to eat differently. Those are high cost items. $20 for McDonald's could feed your family for 4 or 5 days. So that's an important aspect to the money thing. But yeah, a lot of times people are beyond that at this point. They're so in debt that they it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're paying, right. They're paying 23% on that cheeseburger from McDonald's, not because they want to, but because they just have to at this point.
You know? Right. And here's the thing is that you always need little sanity breaks. Like you always need to do something that gives you that little piece of sanity,
mm-hmm.
but you have to also recognize too, that sometimes what that sanity is doing is it's just helping you get through. It's not helping you get to the solution.
Right.
Yeah. Now,
don't let pride come before the bank account. I think I told my friend yesterday.
Right. So now we've talked about, where you can save money in terms of what are your initial banking fees.
Right.
We've talked about what overdraft looks like versus what late payments look like,
yeah.
and what those fees look like. We've talked about credit card interest rates. We've talked about payday loans. And now here's where we look at what cumulative debts you might have and how you might be able to get some of that fixed.
Nice.
So depending on your situation, this is all something you're going to have to sit down and talk to. Credit unions are known to do personal loans that have much lower interest rates than big banks do.
I just want to,
the idea being that
you said something pretty important. You need to sit down and talk to someone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the credit union is the only example of somebody that would offer me a way out that I've heard. So I just want to say, like,
mm-hmm.
you can't find somebody you can trust because the world isn't built that way anymore. But it seems like a credit union might be a viable solution and an alternative to that scammy stuff. But I don't want you to go, mm-hmm. okay, well, I saw a commercial for, you know, whatever, this credit solution, and a lot of those are scams. So I'm happy.
Oh yeah, a lot of those are scams too. Whereas, you know, the credit union is a banking institution that's been around in the United States since the 1840s.
Right. So I like you offering that. I really like you offering that as a solution. We all need somebody to talk to. And there isn't anybody standing up in the federal government saying we protect you and we will help you get out of that. That was my issue. There was no out.
Right.
There was no out. We're just on a hamster wheel and I didn't see any light. So thank you for that. Anyway.
So with that solution, then, you know, with that potential solution, sitting down with them to talk about where your debts are and is there any way that your debts could be consolidated into a much lower interest payment?
Right.
So like, for example, like if you have those huge credit cards that are super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If you have auto loans that have rates that are super expensive.
Like 10,000 and up, you, right? Like your total debt, yeah. 10,000 and up, medical, student. Well, I don't think you can add student loans in there, can you?
Depends on the student loan, to be perfectly honest. If it's a federal student loan, you're probably not going to want to do that because those rates are typically far lower than anything the banks can offer.
Good point.
And a private student loan, though, maybe.
Right.
You might be able to.
Okay.
And it all just depends on what your financial institution is going to allow.
Right.
So, but by sitting down with one of them and seeing what your debts are, what your total payment is, if you can get a personal loan through that credit union and have all of those payments end up being rolled into one much lower payment,
boom,
you could find yourself starting to actually make headway. Then the trick is, you still need to live like you're living and not going out and buying a bunch of stuff, but now you're effectively paying far less.
Right.
And
you're paying half on interest, half on principal instead of all on interest.
I know one group of people, a friend of mine actually did some stuff through a credit union during the pandemic. They rolled two vehicle loans and a credit card into a personal loan through a credit union back home. And in total, they ended up saving.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
$1,500 a month in payments.
That's beautiful. And they're getting out of debt at the same time.
Exactly. And so that was one of the things I told them. And I said, look, you know, that's awesome. Don't spend that $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Take that $1,500, put some of it away in savings for your rainy day fund.
Yep.
Take the other part of it and put it down on that principal so you can pay that debt down faster.
Right. Somebody said a solution, like, I love what you're saying. I think if you can divide that, the payments, like the 15th and the 30th, there's some way that helps you, you know, build your credit faster. So that's an awesome idea. Take that principal. My mom always told me, take your Vegas winnings, put half of them aside and gamble with the rest. So I like this. This triggers me. I like that. You can put half of your savings into an account that you never touch and the other half on the principal. I like that.
Yep.
Boom. Now we're digging
then,
out of our...
Then,
I can see the light at the top of the hole, Jeffrey. We're almost out of debt here.
We're digging our way up. You know, and here's the reality is that there's going to be the want and the desire to slip back. There's going to be the want and the desire to go out and buy a big new toy.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be the want and the desire to do so many different things with that money. But digging yourself out of that debt first is what's going to help, you know, make it so that way you don't feel constantly crushed.
Right.
And so once you finally get those things paid off at a lower interest rate, you can finally start saving money towards your big ticket items that you want to get.
Right.
Or you look at, you know, what your options are through, you know, any other potential solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying don't go out and get a new vehicle. If you've got a job that requires you to drive, you definitely need a rig that's going to be reliable to keep that job.
Sure.
It's just, you know, find out what your savings looks like. And if you're only saving $300 a month, you know, through changing up how you're paying,
right,
don't go out and buy a vehicle that's going to cost you $400 a month.
Right, exactly.
That's the difference, is that you have to know how much you have that you can pay and not go over that. Yes, you might be making headway,
mm-hmm,
but you have to make sure that you're not spending above that in order to keep things up.
Yeah.
And so that might mean that you're not buying a brand new vehicle or a used vehicle that's less than 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You might be buying a used vehicle that's, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, but try and find it at a place where they've done the service on it, that they've got certified service on it.
Sure.
That they've gone through it and you're not just getting something that, you know, is off the corner lot.
Well,
also avoid the corner lot.
Also
for the car sale.
Once you pay your debt off, your credit will be improved, which means you're going to pay less in interest. And now you have that bank account that you've been putting a little aside, which means your payments will be lower because you're paying more on the principal in advance. And
mm-hmm,
you're now searching because you're in a want area. You're not in a need area. You can search for mm-hmm some dealer that has a lower rate overall. And so when they're trying to sell you the car and you say, what's the interest rate? And they say 33%, you say, hi, bye. And because you can do that now, you know what mm-hmm I mean? And
for example, credit unions, a lot of the times you'll say, hey, I'm looking to get a new car.
Right.
And so the way that they do things is it's not, you know, hey, we're going to go through all of this process. It's like, they'll say, how much do you want to borrow on a car?
Mm-hmm.
You say, I want to borrow $15,000 to get a car.
Right.
you show up to the dealer, the dealer's like, yeah, we're going to give you all of this on a used car. Mm-hmm. We're going to charge you like, you know, 5% on it. Your credit union says, okay, cool. We're going to charge you 3.5% on it. But now you can take this to the dealer and say, mm-hmm. I will give you $13,000 cash right now for this car. And that dealer might go, sold. So now right. You save $2,000 right off of that. And you're paying a lower interest rate on that car right. by utilizing your credit union.
Exactly.
So finding smarter ways to leverage that money is the way that you want to do that.
Yeah. And the first way is getting out of the debt so that you have that credit to use. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because if you get those loans and you pay off your credit cards and you pay off your personal loans, and now you are starting to save money, you go to your credit union and say, hey, I need a new vehicle so I can get to work. Mm-hmm. Your credit union is going to be like, sweet, you've done a lot of business with us. You've gotten yourself out of debt. We're absolutely going to see what we can do to get you into a car.
Right. And that gives you the opportunity to capitalize on opportunities, I'll say.
In that regard, like we said before, if you know that you've got $300 that you can spend on a car, mm-hmm. you go into your credit union and say, hey, what amount of money can I borrow from you to buy a car that my payment is going to be less than $300 a month? They're going to sit down with you and they're going to say, this is how much money you can get.
Right.
And your payments will be this much.
That's right. That's how I looked for a car, by the way.
Because if you go into a dealership, they're like, oh, yeah, no, we can totally make this car cost $350 a month. Mm-hmm. But then you get all of these different add-ons and add-ons and add-ons and add-ons. And finally, you look at your sticker price for your car, and you've gone from a car that's $350 a month to almost $500 a month.
Yep.
And you're like, shit, now I'm going to buy this car. And instead of being at $300 a month, now you're minus $200 a month.
Yep. Exactly. That's how I looked for a car. I said, I want this price a month, right? And I only want to pay mm-hmm. for this long. Now you do the math. And they said, it's not possible. And I was like, bye. And I went to another place and I was like, this is what I want to pay a month. This is how many months I want to do it. And they said, yeah, we can do that. Here's your Beretta. And I was like, awesome. Thank you. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Big purchases, people want to splurge because they want that dopamine rush, right? But
right.
that rush feels so much better when you're secure, like after you buy what you wanted to buy, when you're still secure, you know, you don't have to deal with the day after withdrawal.
Knowing what I do now, I've bought two vehicles that were brand new and one that was used. And I went through the dealership all three times. The first time was the person that sold me my first car, I actually knew from high school. So they got me a great deal on the car. The second time was somebody completely different, and I got taken through the ringer. Mm. The third time I bought a car was through another dealership, but this was also through a person that I also knew very well. And so they helped me get into the car that I have now, and it's a great car. But when you don't know somebody at that dealership, though, it makes that a lot harder. But if you know somebody, like in your, you know, if you know that you can go to a credit union and find out, you know, how much can you pay a month, and they give you the amount of money that you have, you can absolutely walk into that dealership right then and there and say, yep, this is what I have to pay. This is what I'm willing to spend. See if you can get less, because you can always try and negotiate that. And voila, you can walk out of there with the car that you potentially want for a lower interest rate and for less money. So getting out of debt is hard work, and especially if you don't know where to start. But there are ways to do it. Now, that's just the simple ones that aren't, where we're not talking about mortgages and student loans.
Right.
Those are your simple everyday ones that you can work on and hopefully gain ground.
There is one more, and I call it the nickel and dimes, the Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, Hulu, like all those things that we just pay for monthly subscriptions and forget about, our Tinders, our POFs, and So I think there's an app that'll help you monitor that, although I've never used it truly, I think. So I'm not recommending it, but it's something to look into, you know. Just my late wife, the first thing I did after she passed was go through those, and she had about 20 things that were about $10-$15 each, and that adds up, you know. Maybe deal with ads for a few years on Spotify. They're no real big deal to me, so I don't know,
you know. And or, you know, and that's the thing, is like, figure out what your, you know, what, where your willingness to pay is. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm willing to pay for Netflix. I have not had the urge to pay for Spotify yet.
Right.
You know, and that's okay. I'm just now finding that I might have the urge to pay for another app, but and I would have a willingness to pay for it, but I'm not sure that it's there yet. Why? Because I, you know, granted that, you know, extra $15 a month is, you know, for me, not all that much. Mm. It's still an extra $15 a month that I can use to put towards, you know, anything else.
Anything.
I have been slamming down my credit card debt the last year.
Yeah.
And the way that I have it figured out is by January 31st, I should have my credit card debt completely gone.
Congratulations. But it's a long-term thing in a short-term world, you know?
You know, and that was the thing, is like, I had set a goal that by the end of 2020, I would have my car, one quarterly student loan, and my credit card all paid off. And only one of those happened.
Right.
I only got my car paid off last year. Pandemic kind of put a little bit of a dent in things, but that's okay.
But that's the other thing, you have to commit. Like, we don't do a lot of that. We want instant gratification. So we make a plan, a long-term plan, but then we give up on it because a section of it needed a spontaneous decision, you know. I like that you did that. Commitment is the most important thing, you know what I mean? The most important thing is making a plan with somebody and then sticking to it. Like, I hear all the time, like, oh, I just spent $100 at the bar because I just needed the night out. No, what you needed was to stick to your long-term plan to get out of debt so you can have a continuation of those nights in happiness without debt,
you know. You know, but I would argue, so here's the thing, is I would argue too that having one of those every once in a while isn't such a bad thing, unless your margins are just like razor thin. Then I don't recommend it, because that night out, you might feel less stressed for a night out, but the moment you look at your bank account the next day, you're going to be doubly stressed out.
Exactly. It's that withdraw thing. You wake up in the morning with a hangover and look at your bank account. And like you said, if you're saving $300 a month and every couple months you spend $100, that's not a big deal. But if you're spending 25% on that drink at the bar, then that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You know?
Right. So that's you have to do things that help with your mental health. Like, you know, go rent a movie or something.
Yeah.
You know, splurge on some popcorn to have at home or whatever.
You do need the reward system, I think. Like, a reward system is important. You're right.
It's just that the rewards shouldn't be these huge things that you're going to drop a ton of money on.
Right.
They should be things that, you know, help give you a little bit of relaxation, a little bit of peace of mind. Whatever that looks like for you.
Yeah.
And that way you can enjoy the fact that you're making progress, because progress without any sort of reward really sucks.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, pretty much where it's been for me for a while, is making progress, but it has sucked because I haven't done much to reward myself.
Right. People like you and I were goal oriented. And I think to myself, I could reward myself by being out of the situation sooner by sticking to it. You know what I mean? Like,
I wanted to drop $2,000 on something here last month.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I went, no, this is a want. It's not a need right now.
Right.
And what I need to do is get rid of my credit card.
Yep. But that becomes my reward, is the goal that I originally set. Like, you're exactly, I moved into this house because I could save $500 a month. Last month, I realized that my computer is 3 years past its updating systems, and I need a new computer. Mm-hmm. And I have the money to go out and spend $2,500 on a new computer that I want, but I'm not doing it because this one's still working, and I get to save $500 this month. So in the end, it'll cost me less, you know, by waiting. Mm-hmm. But it's that I want to save the money. I don't want to spend the money, but I need to spend the money. But I don't want to spend the money. How long can it be before I spend money?
You know? Well, that's like my computer, too. My computer is 8 years old at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that the fan is toast on it. I've got a cooling mat underneath of it to keep it circulating.
Nice.
And I can tell you right now that I desperately need to replace it. But I'm not doing that yet.
Right.
And I'm not going to do that until I save up the money to do it. And when I save up the money to do it, it's going to be after I pay off the credit cards.
Yeah.
And even then, now what I'm going to be looking at next is, you know, do I really need to buy as much computer as I did?
Right.
You know, because when I bought my computer with the sole intent of having some serious processing power in order to do certain tasks. And I did several upgrades to it to extend its life. But now it's at the point of being at end of life. I just bought a new battery for it recently. It was $25. Not a big deal.
Right.
But it's something that, you know, allows me to continue to extend its usage.
Right. Which saves you money.
Mm-hmm. And when I put an SSD hard drive in it, yeah, it cost me more than a normal hard drive. But it's less wear and tear on the machine itself.
And less than a new computer.
Yep. So by doing that, it's allowed me to keep running that machine longer. I mean, most of what I do on that machine now, it's like I don't need to go out and buy a high-end gaming PC for what I do because I'm a console gamer. So I'm saving that money for when it's time for me to actually buy a new computer.
Right.
At some point.
Man. So there is one more way I can think of that we need to discuss in saving money. And that's in our relationships. That's in our friendships. Like, I think, I think we're in a consumer atmosphere. And sometimes just walking around the lake in your community, it can be a date. Going to get a scoop of ice cream can be a date. We don't have to like try and like wow people with our money. You know, we should learn to appreciate the smaller things in life because not the 1%, I'm starting something new. The 99% don't have the money to do what they're doing. And we just need to get used to that. The person I'm taking out, maybe they're just going out with me because it's a free meal. You know, that's the way life is these days. We do what we can where we can, but we need to learn that it's not settling to be with the person on a cheap date, a picnic, or something easier than like $40 on a movie and popcorn. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, and you're absolutely right. Sometimes there are things you can enjoy around, you know, your community that, you really, if you're looking to spend time with someone, it's that you're looking to spend time with them. Look, if you're out there looking for, you know, a cheap meal or whatever, hey, you know, more power to you. But if you're in the realm of trying to find someone that you want to spend time with and that's your goal, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, let's go get a scoop of ice cream and walk around, you know, walk around this park.
Right. The beach is free, right?
Make a couple of sandwiches, throw them in a lunch bag and head out over to, you know, your local park and sit down and spend some time talking with this person. You know, you don't have to have $30, $40, $50 meals in order to get to know somebody.
Right.
You really don't.
You can do window shopping. You don't have to go to Starbucks for that 10 buck coffee. You know what I mean? Like there's cheaper ways to do things. I think we need to get used to that. I think we put a high priority in relationships when it comes to monetary things. Like, what do you do? Everybody wants to know, what do you do? Not who are you? And it's these little subtle changes that can actually help us. You know, like if your neighbor's having a party, go over there and hang out, talk to them, you know, get to know your neighbor. I also told my friend, maybe maybe let your neighbor know ahead of time of your party. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
that's,
right.
That's a separate issue. But there is little ways, and that's the thing. There is no instant way to get out of your debt. Big Daddy government isn't going to come and give you $50,000 so that you can break even again. And the truth is nope. Even if Big Daddy government bailed you out of your debt, you wouldn't have learned the lessons it takes to stay out of it. So we need to do the small things it takes and think of our longer future, not our immediate wants. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or change what your immediate wants are. Like, I have a friend that he wants certain things, and I'm trying to explain that those certain things will come to him in a cost-effective way if he waits. But if he wants mm-hmm. it now, he's going to pay a premium now. And so he wants bricks to redo the front of his house. He's been waiting 2 months. Suddenly he sees on Marketplace, the bricks are like $200 for everything he wants when it would have cost $2,000. So it came at the right time, but you're going to pay a premium if you want what you want now. If you don't take the time to wait for the right price to come along, then you're going to pay a premium, and that's going to put you further in a cycle of something you don't want to be in.
Absolutely.
You make me feel so smart by agreeing with me all the time, Jeffrey. I love that.
Well, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, both of us have some experience in this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a lot of ways, this is us being able to pass down what we've learned. So hopefully somebody else doesn't have to struggle with this. And I will say another caveat is this is what it looks like in the United States of America. I can't say what systems you may or may not have in, you know, whatever country you may be listening to.
Right.
But if you have a credit union, hey, maybe start with your credit union in your country. See what they have to offer, or in your town, mm-hmm. in your state. You know, there are people, you know, don't go to Loan Shark Louie. And if you have mm-hmm. a major bank, you know, don't start with them either, because the nice thing about credit unions, at least the way that they're run here in the United States, we use the German model, is that, you know, we don't have investors. So the only two groups of people that have to be satisfied are the employees and the people who are investing their money in the credit union, who are putting their money into the credit union for safekeeping.
Right.
That's it. We don't have outside investors that expect us to turn a certain amount of profit. We don't have that.
Right. I know from my experience with Filipinos, if you're having money issues, talk to your mom or your grandma or your tita or your tito, because they have the experience. I know frugal people. And Filipinos can stretch a dime if they have to. And just look to your ancestors, look to people that have been through it before, like Jeffrey said, for those answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, they're right there. You might not get to hear what you want to hear from your tito, but you're going to hear how he did it. And if you listen to 10 people tell you how they did it, you're going to get 5 solutions that you didn't think were possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just like the debt side. If you're looking at other things where you want to, you know, one of the things we didn't really talk about was, you know, how do you make your grocery dollar stretch the longest?
Right.
I guarantee you, like, for example, Reddit this has been a really interesting one. There's been a couple of times where somebody posts on Reddit, hey, I got $20 to last me a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can I buy to feed me for a week until I finally get my first paycheck?
Right.
I guarantee that. If there is a resource out there and you say, hey, I'm in Malta, I've got $20 to feed me for the week. What can I buy in order to make a week's worth of meals to keep me going? Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that there are going to be people that go, hey, I know what you can do. Yep. And they're going to tell you where to buy things. They're going to tell you recipes. They're going to give you every piece of information you can ask for. And I guarantee you, you'll find that in Ukraine, in Poland, in Russia, in the Philippines. Yeah. They'll tell you, hey, this is where you need to go. This is what you need to buy. This is how you make this dish. And you can save a bunch of leftovers so that way you've got lunches for work.
Right.
You can do this for dinners. And you'll come in under that budget because somebody has had to do that. And somebody became an artist at it.
Right. But the first thing they did was not need something, you know, like having a face for food. you're going to eat what's in the fridge. You're not going to eat necessarily what you have a taste for that day. You know, like not everything you do. I was editing a podcast from 2018, the raw audio I heard, and my friend Lexi said something really smart. Happiness isn't meant for every second of the day. Sometimes happiness is meant for those special moments, and we need to stop pretending like we deserve to be ultra happy every second of the day, because life is a struggle, and it makes those moments when you see your child more special. And I love that she said that before she had a child. You know, I know now I see the way she looks at her child, and she's also in that. And I don't even know how to deal with like debt when it comes to kids. We're going to have to do like debt with parents is another whole nother topic, because we're actually running out of time. We did a whole episode, Jeffrey, on how to get out of debt. And I love that, because I didn't think that that's what was stressing my mind all week, was like, I want to talk about this because this is one thing that 99% of the population deals with, and it's important to do, but I don't know how to do it without just being a complainer and not a solution based. And you fucking rocked, man.
solutions are important, and
they are the thing.
There are people out there creating solutions to problems that exist in multiple ways. You know, the fact of the matter is that there are credit unions out there that came up with payday lending to combat payday lenders.
Good.
Like, that is a brilliant thing. Do the interest rates still suck for the person that has to get a payday loan? Yeah, but they suck a hell of a lot less. And they come with advice on how to get out of debt.
Right. Sometimes it's just hard to see who the white hats are and who the black hats are, you know, like. Right. I see that Medicare commercial all the time with Joe Namath on it. And he's like, you can get free rides. You can get this, you can get that. But they fail to mention that all of that is under the same coverage umbrella of $3,000. You can go to the doctor all you want for $3,000, or you can get a ride to the doctor and see the doctor a couple times. You know? And people don't understand. Right. You're still withdrawing from the same account. You're not getting something extra. And it's these commercials, the payday loan, you know, let's get you out of debt. They don't want to get you out of debt. They just want to manage your debt for a price. And that's the issue with the Consumer Protection Agency. It's been gutted. I don't know if I can trust them. And it's the government doesn't want to get me out of debt. They're the ones helping to take advantage of it, you know? So, and we didn't even get to the political. That's the amazing thing, because this post was created by somebody that is a Marx lover, Marxist, right? And complaining about capitalism. And we didn't even take the political route. We didn't even say it's because of capitalism that we're in debt. But there is predatory practices that capitalism allows that I think we should have regulations on that we don't.
Absolutely. There are predatory practices, but one of the things that I think is important too is, you know, for those of us who know what those predatory practices are, putting the information out there that says, hey, you know, there are other solutions out there.
Yes.
If this is what you have to turn to, I don't want to discourage it, but if you know that there are better solutions out there, I want to encourage those instead.
Right.
Because ultimately in the end, it's like, if you have to use a payday lender, you have to use a payday lender. But if I can say, hey, there's a payday lender out there that charges a lot less money, that's going to help a person get out of the cycle a lot faster. Oh, yeah. If there's a credit card out there that has a lot of bells and whistles and looks neat, but it's going to charge you a whole bunch of money, and I just say, cool, but there's a credit card out there that literally charges half of the interest rate.
Right.
You can get out of that, or, you know, you can talk to somebody who's going to be able to sit down with you and your finances and say, hey, you know, I'm noticing that you're spending a lot of money on these particular things. Are these actual necessities?
Right.
Or can you gut these? Or, hey, you're spending a lot of money on these three things. Is there any way that we can consolidate them to where you're paying a lower monthly payment?
That's awesome.
There's a way to do it.
So, do you have any recommendations of anything to watch? We're wrapping up. We're in the wrap up, and I like doing stuff like this for the wrap up. I have nothing, by the way. Oh, check out Unsubscribe with my friend Kai. She's really great, and her show is really usually pretty fun.
Awesome.
I was on. Yeah. I was on it. The episode is called Jason Sucks, by the way. But then I read the description and I realized that I don't necessarily suck. I just suck because I'm so great and other people feel less great around me. So thank you, Kai, for that. You made me feel superior for a moment in time. I appreciate that.
Jason, the great sucker. Wait.
Yep. Yep.
I would say what I'm watching, I've been watching My Hero Academia. So
nice. Okay. Fair enough.
Good. It's awesome. Good fun. Good show. Definitely worth it. Okay. All the way.
I love that. Thank you for listening to Public Access America. You have a great day. We are out of here.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time.
To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not
nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Truth.
Apple Podcasts. Stitcher Smart Radio. Public. And Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making. Making history in the making.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's Body Care Breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
A lot of smart people don't feel so smart when it comes to their money. So Morgan Stanley made a podcast to help. Listen to What Should I Do With My Money? To hear real people ask real questions about money and get helpful answers from experienced financial advisors.